From Crazy Hood Productions, I'm Jay Havana, and this is Family Ties. Today's episode is about Oso, a Crazy Hood member who's all about the music. Growing up, Oso's family listened to a wide range of classics, but it was hip-hop that related to him the most. Listen close as he shares his story, from Passaic, New Jersey, where he discovered hip-hop, to Kendall, where he will meet EFN and become part of the Crazy Hood family. Always authentic, always crazy.
Another day, another dollar, my story to tell. Another failed piss test, I'm back to jail. Jail cells overcrowded with killers and thieves. Couldn't work, motherfuckers, roll up your sleeves. I'm Comptown representer, I'm letting them know. I keep it hood with a nigga, so hand me my dough. I don't play when it comes to bread or the raps. Instead, get the killer motherfucker till his vocals dead. My crazy hood overthrowing, shut up. Nigga, you see the pistol showing from the CPT. Down with EFN, between the beef and the peace, local line is still the real and the fake, couple lies get
in. Who is Steve, and where are you originally from?
Steve is second oldest of four. Both my parents are from Columbia.
Okay.
They migrated to Passaic, New Jersey. You probably would compare this intro to like my cousin Paul. Who was your first guest? So, you know, it might sound the same, might sound different. Obviously, we got different lives, but just, I guess, you know, people don't get confused. But, yeah, we are cousins.
Okay.
My parents migrated back in, like, 70, maybe, 69, 70. My dad came first. And he happened to come to Passaic, New Jersey, because he had an aunt that was living there. And she had gone there maybe a couple years before. She'd been living out there, so... He wanted to make a better life for himself and came out here, already knew my mom in Colombia. Eventually brought her back out. They got married within like maybe about a year after or so.
Okay.
And had four kids. My brother's the oldest. Then it's me. Then I have two younger sisters. And basically, you know, just grew up in Passaic, New Jersey. It's not necessarily a suburb. Kind of like, I would kind of compare it to basically what it could be like an inner city type, you know. So hood is not a real nice neighborhood or anything. I have some certain parts that are nice, but in reality is, well, I guess most people would consider kind of ghetto, but however you want to look at it, you know.
Right.
And for the most part, grew up Catholic. I went to a Catholic school for 8 years.
Okay.
So kind of knew the same people every day when I went to school throughout those 8 years. And throughout that time, with my brother, we were all into music. My mom was into music. My dad, they used to play music every Saturday and Sunday mornings, early as hell, you know, doing chores in the house. And they introduced us to a lot of, you know, Spanish music, Colombian music, but they were very, open-minded about music, so, you know, they listen to other countries.
Nice.
Argentina, from wherever you can think of it, you know, they listen to, you know, different salsa, stuff like that. They were into a lot of English music, too. My mom was a big Donna Summer fan.
Mm.
My dad was more into, like, classical music. But, you know, he listened to other stuff here and there.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody ever introduced me to hip-hop, it was probably my brother. Along with an uncle of mine from my mom's side, because he was a DJ.
Mm.
So he used to do a lot of like house parties, also family parties, and he used to be the main DJ. And that kind of caught my attention because, you know, just to pay attention to what he was doing, he wasn't no like scratch here, scratch there DJ. He just blended stuff. He did parties.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like, you know, hood parties or street parties where, you know, that the DJ scratching and doing all funky stuff. He wasn't like that, but it was just cool. Cool to see how he blended different type of music. Back then in the 80s, growing up in the 80s, freestyle was real big.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up listening to a lot of that stuff like Stevie B, Johnny O, Cynthia, TKA. You know, all those artists, some people might know about, some people might not.
Right.
They used to kind of infiltrate hip-hop, like rap, mm-hmm. and a lot of those songs, because a lot of times they didn't just sing. They used to sort of rap here and there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it, you know, it always caught my attention just listening to lyrics and stuff like that. You know, I remember growing up listening to Run DMC, Stetsasonic, UTFO, Houdini. Like, one of the first albums I remember my brother buying back then was either a Houdini album or he used to buy, there was this DJ out there called DJ Rap Attack, who used to throw out kind of like compilations. You could kind of like maybe call them mixtapes, but they were, I don't think they're really mixtapes.
Right.
It was just different songs that we put out that were popular at the moment. And I remember my brother used to buy a lot of those albums. And, you know, listen to a lot of music, because obviously back then music, hip hop wasn't really radio friendly.
Right.
Kiss 98, or yeah, Kiss 98 used to do a Friday and Saturday night show, but throughout the day they played basically R&B, stuff like that, you know, nothing kind of like what Hot 105 would play out here in Miami. There was another station called BLS. They used to do a Friday and Saturday night show also.
Mm.
You know, we were listening to a lot of stuff like that. DJ Red Alert, Kiss 98.
Nice.
He was the man then, you know?
Yeah.
He was the one that used to do all the shows and stuff out there.
Right.
And we used to record a lot of that, me and my brother.
That's cool.
Like, it was late at night, you know, parents didn't like that, but we were into the music. You know, it was what we were, even though our parents didn't listen to nothing but Spanish most of the time, you know, we had our own radio, so, you know, listen to whatever caught our ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like I can say, I listened to Madonna growing up.
Yeah.
You know, I listened to a lot of different type of music and it was just a thing that I always had my attention, you know, I was always into it. Fortunately, I never really thought I had the skills, to rhyme or stuff like that, so I never really got into that.
Okay.
I always used to learn rhymes from all the different, you know, people that I used to listen to, like, you know, I remember Houdini back in the days with Friends, and She's Got a Big Mouth. That was a pretty dope song that I used to like back in the days, and I used to even listen to it nowadays every once in a while.
Okay.
The one album that we had from them was called Back in Black, where they had that song Funky Beat. They had the One Love song. Another one called Last Night I Had a Long Talk with Myself, you know. It's songs that maybe people don't even know about. Maybe they've heard, maybe they haven't, but to me, that's what I listen to.
Right.
Listen to them. I listen to, like I said, Run DMC. But one of the main groups that I remember really got my attention, and the funny thing is, you know, obviously I'm not black, I'm Spanish,
mm-hmm.
was Public Enemy. Public Enemy to me was the shit.
Right.
You know? Public Enemy was one of the dopest groups back then. I mean, you had Run DMC, yeah, you had, the Juice Crew, you know, stuff like that. Public Enemy was the shit, man.
Right.
They were one of my favorite groups back then, coming up.
What was your favorite Public Enemy song?
Well, the one that really got my attention was Bring the Noise. When it started, Too Black, Too Strong, Too Black. And, I mean, like I said, I'm not black, but I'm just listening to it because
right.
I like it. You know, I'm listening to the lyrics.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, I kind of understood more or less about black power and stuff like that, but, you know, it was just interesting. It was interesting to hear what he had to say,
mm-hmm.
you know? And a lot of different things going on, and then when they did fight the power, you know, the movie was dope, had a dope message and everything, you know, and once again, you know, it was Public Enemy. Public Enemy was shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the 90s, I was a big Cypress Hill fan. Didn't smoke weed, but Cypress Hill was the shit to me, too.
Yeah.
N.W.A.
What song of Cypress Hill did you really enjoy or made an impact on you?
The whole first album was dope as hell.
Got you.
They had that one song that was in Spanish called Tres X.
Yeah.
To me, was hilarious. I don't know if you ever remember that song, but to me, that was a funny ass song.
Right.
Lion Lingo was dope on that album. But, you know, we all related with my, like, I didn't, hook, like, hang around with my cousin as much when I was in Jersey. Mm-hmm. Even though we would see each other at family parties and stuff like that, talking about ball, weird thoughts.
Right.
But when he moved out here, because I moved out here, like, in early 90, he moved out here a year later.
Okay.
He didn't know many people. I still didn't know many people either. Yeah, I told you I introduced him to Donuts, Ned, Danny. So we hung out more, and you know we still related because I knew he was into hip hop,
right?
And I was into hip hop, and you know even though in Jersey we kind of, like I said, we hooked up here and there, but when we hooked up, it was usually family parties where they played the Spanish music,
right? Right.
But you know we knew about hip hop and talked about it and stuff like that.
And you built a bond from it, yeah.
Yes, sir.
So you said you didn't rap. Did you ever get into like DJing, producing, or even writing?
Nah, man. It's like I didn't feel like I had that. I mean, like, never really had that creativity, that art, that didn't come out of me like that.
Okay.
As much as I love the music.
Right.
I remember when I was a kid. Once I told my mom I wanted to become a singer when I grew up.
Okay.
I mean, obviously that didn't happen, but. You know, it was just like, that's how much I like music, you know, that, but I just didn't have, I wasn't really much of a writer. I didn't really, like, English class wasn't the best, like, in the senior year when you have to do a lot of writing, wasn't the best at it. I wasn't the best at book reports and stuff like that, you know, so writing was never in me, like, it didn't come out.
Right, right.
You know, I tried, I'm not going to say I didn't try, I wasn't an artist, so... Graffiti was dope too, but I just never got into it. My brother, on the other hand, he's an artist.
Mm.
So he used to do a lot of little pieces here and there on paper. He never tagged up because we grew up in a family where we were, like, parents were very sort of strict, you know. They were very on top of us. I mean, we had our childhood and all that, but we didn't get to go out much into the streets the way maybe some other kids did, you know, like. We played ball outside, you know, we did stuff like that, sports, ride bike, but we just never grew up to be vandals or anything like that. It wasn't the way we were brought up.
Gotcha.
Per se.
Okay. So you spoke about Public Enemy and Cypress Hill. Were there any solo artists, solo hip hop artists, or any musical genres that you grew a connection to, that you liked their music?
I mean, yeah, you know. KRS-One, Slick Rick, when he came out on his own, I remember Slick Rick's first solo album, The Great Adventures of Slick Rick. My brother bought that album, and if you know about that album, it's got that one song called Indian Girl.
Right.
And, you know, the first time hearing, so we didn't know what to expect, even though he's already cursing the most of the other songs, and we're listening to it loud, like, it's cool. You know, we're probably like, that was like, what, maybe 87, I believe? So I was only like about 11, 12 years old at that time. And, you know, my mom's in the background doing her stuff, but she's kind of paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And when that song Indian Nick Carroll came on, it was a rap. The next day, we couldn't find that tape anymore.
It was gone.
Eventually down the road. Yeah, eventually down the road, we had to buy another copy. But, yeah, that wasn't a good one because she wasn't into that. And then... she wasn't really into rap music that much. She was into hip-hop.
Right.
You know, she thought it was all about just bad words and stuff. And, you know, try to explain to her as I grew up and got into it more that it's more than that. You know, it's not just the way the artist is expressing themselves, you know. A lot of artists in Spanish that express themselves different ways, sometimes with vulgarity, sometimes not. But it happens, you know.
Yep.
It's just the art, I guess you can say, to a certain extent.
Right.
But she wasn't. She wasn't listening to any of that.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't trying to listen to me.
So when you moved out here to Miami, did you have family already here? Or is it just you and your family that moved out?
No, we actually had an aunt from my dad's side that had moved out here maybe like 2 years prior.
Okay.
My dad's same aunt, that originally had moved to Jersey first, she was living out here too already. And some of her kids were living out here. So we had a couple of, you know, family members. The only thing was that I didn't have too many cousins that were my age area, except for Paul at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was going to school, I still didn't know anybody. Gotcha. So that was kind of hard. You know, I wasn't the talkative type per se. I was more of a laid back kind of observing the area. Never really, like, I made friends and whatnot because I'm not saying I was antisocial either.
Mm-hmm.
But I was kind of shy, you know, so like how Paul talked about going into lunchroom class when you were in lunch. I sat by myself too. I think there was one dude that I knew, and that was because he was friends with my homeboy Donuts at the time.
Mm.
So we used to kind of chill and talk and whatnot, but then eventually, you know, he had other friends. So he went his way, and I kind of just chilled on my own. You know, probably read a book or something because it wasn't much. Like, I wasn't that social to the point where I knew too many people then.
Right.
Eventually, as the time went on, I started talking to people and I got to know people more, but, you know, I'm fresh out of another state.
Yeah.
Don't know nobody.
Yeah.
So I'm going to school and I have a younger sister that's 2 years younger than me, but she's a year younger in school when it's like, I don't really get to see her either.
Mm-hmm.
She was a little bit more social, so she made friends a lot easier.
Got you.
She's just always been that way.
Yeah. That's cool. So, did you meet EFN prior to Paul moving out here?
Sort of, because I met him when I was a junior.
Okay.
And I came here after my senior, sophomore year. The second half,
gotcha.
I did it out here in Miami.
Okay.
So I don't remember meeting E until probably almost the next school year, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And by then, we were playing ball. Like Paul said, we used to play ball every day after school. Come home from school, if I had homework, do homework real quick, then hit the courts. The courts were like maybe 10-minute walk for me.
Mm-hmm. Sugarwood, right?
Get them out there. Yeah, Sugarwood. We used to be out there 3, 4, 5 hours just balling. Yeah, I wasn't the greatest.
Uh-huh.
I could have the ball a little bit, you know, okay. I was a decent shooter, but nothing crazy. But
right.
Yeah, it was one of my favorite sports. I really didn't want it to get into football growing up. But once again, my mom wasn't with that because she knew it was a very dangerous sport, and she'd rather me not go through anything like that. But right. I used to love football.
That's tight.
Giants fan all day long.
Giants fan?
I don't know if that matters, but
still,
you know, just saying it.
Still to this day?
Yes, sir.
That's
yes,
dope. Sir. That's dope. So, how did you get the name also?
That was probably like about 18 years ago.
Okay.
I used to work a lot. I was working at the banquet hall, and it was a lot of hours. So I'd get home. At the time, I was living with my homeboy Charles. We were roommates, and we had another roommate. So I'd get home tired as hell, take a shower, go to sleep, and along, you know, come these motherfuckers, my friends, my brothers,
yeah,
knocking at my door, 1, 2 in the morning, yo, we going out. Like, man, I just got home. Well, sometimes I wouldn't even answer because I'm sleeping.
Right.
They say I hibernate like a bear. Which, I mean, I'm just tired, you know?
Right.
But whatever, you know, it's cool. It happens all the time. We're always, you know, picking on each other, whatnot. But that's what brothers do.
That's what's up. True.
You're listening to the Family Ties podcast series, A Crazy Hood Story. We also want you to check out Drink Champs and all its affiliated podcasts like Thugged Out Thursdays, A Drug Dealer's Dream, and many more that are being added to the network. So check us out at drinkchamps.com. Also check us out at crazyhood.com. And stay tuned for new episodes of Family Ties dropping every week.
How did you meet the rest of the Crazy Hood family?
Most of them already went through school. I knew, like, Drain, for instance, I knew him because I used to see him in school all the time, but we never really interacted. Like, we had mutual friends and all, but we didn't interact much. We used to talk here and there, whatever, say what's up, but that was about it. I was more cool back then when I met E. It was E, Paul. I already knew Eddie, even though Eddie came into CHP later.
Okay.
Like, maybe about 2, 3 years later, I think it was after we had already started.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Eddie from school. You know, we were cool then. Even though he used to work with a different crew.
Right.
But we were cool then. I mean, I knew Hector also. once again, they were in a different crew. So our crew was, like I said, E, Paul. We had this boy named Humphrey, JJ, my other cousin, Caesar. He's not necessarily blood cousin, but we grew up together, so we call each other cousins.
Okay.
It was quite a few of us, actually. But can't remember everybody right now. I think there was two brothers, two Colombian brothers, Ivan and Jaib. Few others I can't remember at the moment. And yeah, once Junior came by, I think I had a couple of them in classes, so, you know, we were interacting there, but I didn't get, like, we kind of chilled more after school, because during school, in the morning we would meet up, hang out, whatever, before school started.
Right.
Throughout the day, I might have bumped into him once he in there, because our schedules were different.
Okay.
We happened to have lunch together that year, so we used to play handball outside. In the courts that they had, I think they were handball courts. They were walls. That's what we used to play. So we used to do that pretty much all lunch long. Like maybe, 30, 40 minutes? I don't know. I don't remember how long it was, but that's what we used to do most of the time during lunch.
Do you remember when Crazy Hood was first formed, when E came up with that idea, and like your reaction to it?
It was a dope idea. He probably came up to me, I don't think like he had talked to everybody. Like, I don't think Hector, which was Underworld Elements, I don't think he had even talked to them about it, or, you know, we were cool then, but if I'm not mistaken, I was probably maybe the third or fourth person he might have brought it up to.
Okay.
And it probably was at his mom's place back then. And yeah, he basically, you know, explained to me what it was about. He wanted basically to represent hip hop coming from Miami, because back then you had Luke, which was, you know, Two Live Crew, which was, to me, it was hip hop. It was just not what I was used to, kind of like up north, but it was hip hop. You know, I remember listening to Me So Horny and all that shit.
Right.
People bumping it in the streets up in Jersey. So it wasn't like we didn't know about it. I would say maybe I was a little bit more of kind of like just East Coast at the time, because that's what I was listening to, even though I was down with NWA. Ghetto Boys came out maybe 90. That's when they first started hitting up, 90, 91.
Mm-hmm.
So back then, yeah, I kind of knew pretty much more about just East Coast, which was Biz Markie, Big Daddy Kane, you know, whatever you saw back then in your MTV raps. That's what I used to follow.
Right.
Whenever I listened to, when I was listening to Kiss FM or BLS, you know, whatever they played, I knew about it because of that. Mm-hmm. Until I came out here, and then it was the Rhythm Rocker. That dude was dope, because I used to love what he do. He would always introduce, right before a show was ending, introduced like the album that had come out around that time, and he would play the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was dope, because, you know, if you were up that late, it was like at maybe 2-3 in the morning, and I was in high school, and my mom didn't like that shit, but I mean, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to listen to that. I wanted to hear whatever was new at the time. So I used to listen to him every time his show was on.
Right.
As much as I could. Even though I would fall asleep at the time. I would record it too, just to have new music, whatever was out at the time.
Right. The way you explain, DJs, is is the same way as mentioned Public Enemy and Cypress Hill and all of that, and about their flows and their lyrics. Like, I feel like that it's this DJs had that same impact on you as well. Like, you would listen to how they would, cut, how they would scratch, how they would introduce a new song, what music they would play. You know, like that's the vibe I get as I'm listening to you speak about DJs.
Yeah, because I used to love it. Like, even when I was over at my grandma's, my uncle always used to practice, and he used to play different stuff, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
He was into hip hop because he used to always have some type of hip hop record.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of more of the freestyle stuff.
Yeah.
Or he would do a lot of the Spanish stuff too.
Right.
but you know, he always had a hip hop song here and there. Right. So I knew he was into it. Maybe it wasn't his preference, but I knew he listened to it.
Right.
I remember he used to have the Sugar Hill single. He used to have he didn't have he may not have had a big Daddy King single, because probably wasn't what he really was into. He was probably more into I would say the commercial stuff. But that's because he wanted, obviously, music that he could play in a party where he would keep the party live.
Right.
He understood.
Right.
But, I mean, if I didn't hear it either through him, or I didn't hear it through any of the radio stations, whatever was played on Yo MTV Raps at the time, you know, and even that started to, I think it was about 80. He was when Yo MTV Raps started. Maybe a little bit before, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But, you know, they used to play a lot of the dope shit, you know, a lot of the stuff that was out new, obviously.
Yeah.
So I used to always be into that, you know, as much as possible. When Rap City came out with BET, it was dope just watching that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, most of the time I was home anyways. And like I said, I wasn't the one who was out, so I don't have the stories of getting into fights here and there. That's a little bit later, when I was, more in my 20s and living on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I have some stories about that. But when I was at home, you know, I had to kind of follow what my parents told me, you know.
Right. And that's cool too, how, you know, you mentioned your uncle used to play freestyle, Stevie B and all that. I hear that influence in hip hop songs as well.
All the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, a lot of hip hop artists will tell you they're not just into hip hop, they listen to a lot of other stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times I didn't read about Outkast, in the group Korn. Group I would never like. It's just not the type of music that I would listen to, but they like it. You know, maybe that's influenced them in making some of the music that they've made. I mean, I know they listen to other stuff, but just to see a group like Outkast, you wouldn't expect them to listen to a group like Korn.
Right.
You know? Probably somebody wouldn't expect me to listen to Queen, for instance. You know, Queen is a dope group. You know, they're classic rock, but it's some of the stuff that I would listen to even to today, because it's music, and I like music. I like to listen to a lot of different type of music. Now, don't get me wrong, there's some music I just can't stand. I guess that EDM stuff. I can't stand that. To me, that's not music. That's just noise.
Right. Right.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to, you know, get nobody upset because I said that, but whatever.
Right.
Listen to me, whatever.
So, how were the early days of Crazy Hood, and from your perspective, how did you see it transition from, you know, an idea of wanting to put Miami hip hop on the map, and you guys representing the music, to actually creating that music and seeing your friends DJ, produce, rap, write lyrics, and so forth?
I mean, I've always supported them, because, like I said, I like music. I listen. When it comes to hip hop, the first thing I think to me you gotta do is, besides, enjoy the beat, is you gotta listen to the lyrics. You gotta listen to what they're saying.
Right.
If it's not worth listening to, I'm really not gonna pay attention to it, because you're not catching my attention, at least personally.
Right.
You know, so you gotta say something that's worth listening to me at least.
Right.
And most of my friends were kind of influenced with similar artists growing up. And to me, my friends were lyrical as hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people may not think they are.
Wow, they are.
To me, they were lyrical.
Yeah.
You know, Hector coming from Chicago, Paul coming from Jersey, Adrian coming from England, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Adrian is a dope-ass lyricist. As much as he said that he didn't like doing it, he needs to get all that, because I don't know why he's sleeping.
Right.
Besides the fact that he's a dope-ass producer, he's a dope-ass lyricist.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, I don't know, maybe the hunger's not in him no more. Maybe he's a lot older. But I think if he puts his mind to it, he could do it, because if you listen to anything he spit back in the days, I think you would appreciate it, you know?
Stop, brother, you wanna step in my corridor? Your shit is too narrow. Trust, you niggas acting too smoking too much bud. I don't give a fuck, it's it, about to get blood. Like a rainstorm in August. I don't give a fuck when I come from a rope in a Taurus. I'm gonna beat down the mill. I don't give a fuck when I spit that rhyme, my shit too real. Shit, niggas wanna steal my style. Fuck that bullshit, nigga, go and see somebody. I don't give
right.
a fuck.
Yeah. I'm not just talking about him, but I just know that, I remember that. In his little interview, in his, you know, story,
mm-hmm.
he talked about how he didn't like to spit, and I think he's dope.
Yes.
You know, to me, I can't ever say that any of my brothers spit anything stupid or retarded, mm-hmm. even though Weird Thoughts is called Weird Thoughts for a reason.
Off the bench, nothing but offense. No distraction, that's nonsense. Off the rap in my subconscious. Don't care about who, how, or what happened. When why try to fight, I leave your jaw lacking. Bone marrow gums deep, have your car stopping.
And you said some things sometimes and you're like, what? But even him, you know, and I'm not trying to diss my cousin because to me, he's still, to me, he's been a dope ass lyricist too.
Yeah.
But he would say some shit sometimes and you're like, what the fuck did you just say?
Right. But it came out dope.
I can't ever think I could say that. Never spit something stupid.
Right.
Garcia, which eventually you'll hear about him one day.
Since the days of Big Pun, I'm, how'd you say, paranoid, sitting clutching my gun, Marty Metal style, we them boys that hustle for fun, keep cohibas in our pockets when we fill up our lungs, down with crazy hood, homie, I was born to make noise, dad raised me and my daddy's a cocaine cowboy, that Cuban life, ride in 305, ride, we may be crazy, baby.
He's another dope lyricist coming out of Miami, he's born and bred out here, most of us migrated out here from other states.
That's dope.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, that's dope. I've heard his music as well. Talk a little bit, you know, from the early days of Crazy Hood, as you guys got older. How's that transition to see, you know, your friends still loving the culture, still about the music, and how you've evolved as a fan of the music. Of just the hip hop culture as well.
Yeah, we used to meet up every Wednesdays.
Okay.
Started out at E's Pop's crib. We started meeting out there, and eventually it evolved into a warehouse that we had where we had offices, and we used to meet there. And at the beginning of a series, it was all about, you know, it was no funny stuff. It was basically sitting down, talking about business,
okay.
talking about how we could make the business grow. You know, talking about everything that we needed to do, from promotions to everything, you know, we were all down. We all had our regular lives.
Right.
We all worked, you know, but we had to do it. If we really wanted to, for it to work, we had to work. You know, we were serious about everything. And if you were late, you did push-ups. Sometimes we used to do, we had to put in money, you know, whatever we had to do just to really, you know, make you want to put your heart in it and make you be on time.
Right.
To what you say you want to do.
Right.
You know, that's what it was about. And to me, even though nowadays we don't do that as much anymore,
uh-huh.
just meeting up like that, even meeting up, you know, it's harder because people have families and stuff, so it's not that easy. People got to work too.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep in touch. I mean, we still live in the same city. Nobody really has moved out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just a grind, you know, just from the beginning. We never stopped. We used to hit it up sometimes almost every day, even mm-hmm. if it was just to do street team stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Just to promote a record that they wanted us to do, but that helps CHB in the long run because we're promoting our stuff too.
Getting wild from the motherfucking south, no doubt.
The foundation for a new creation of sound, heading southbound. Connect the candle drive, bringing it live. Only the hungry survive. The rock bottom of the map is where we laid it in at. The foundation, a new creation of sound. Heading southbound, 95. Connect the candle drive, 88. The birthplace where we create the foundation. The foundation.
Just talking about it. Yo,
Right.
You know, we're getting our name out.
Yeah.
To the point where you got people noticing who the hell you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're around and they see what you do. Cops saw it too, but, you know, they never really caught us.
Got you. How were those street team days?
Rough.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of work. And I also had my regular 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was tough. It was tough sometimes. We were up for like hours, like at least 12, 13, 14, 15 hour days.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it. Just doing it just because we wanted to. Because, you know, we loved what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to show ourselves who we were, you know.
Right.
Sometimes it was taking trips of the cities, of the states, whatever you had to do.
Right.
But we did it.
Right.
We still do it sometimes. Not all of us, but
yeah,
it still happens.
Yeah.
Like I told you, if it was ever E, a lot of this would have been here, man.
Right.
That motherfucker is persistent. That motherfucker don't stop. But he's a man. I got to give it to him.
It's true.
You know?
So what was your role in Crazy Hood from the beginning, throughout the years, and until now?
To me, a soldier is just somebody that gave it all, you know, supported everything. I mean, a lot of the ideas obviously were made from DJ to artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I never knew about anything, but,
yeah,
you know, a lot of them, it was about them. And to me, I've always supported everything, you know. I've never give up. I've been on the street teams from the beginning to the end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just working, grinding, doing promotions up and down any street you could think of.
Right.
That we had to go.
How was those studio sessions when you got to see them, like, record songs from the Who's Crazy album to... you know, the Heckler's album and Garcia and so forth?
I mean, they're always fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's always dope to be in studio. I mean, I wish they could do it more now.
Right.
But I still think they got the heart in it to do music. I mean, maybe they're a little bit older. Maybe they're not. They don't want to concentrate on that, but
mm-hmm.
it's always been dope to be part of that, just to witness all of that, because to me, it's history.
Right.
It's Miami history. It's hip hop history,
mm-hmm.
and you know, most of it is in my thoughts, in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I've experiences that I've been through, and a lot of it really hasn't been documented. But to me, it's still history, you know.
Yeah,
it's my hip hop history, the way I put it, I guess.
Yeah,
my CHP history.
That's a great way of looking at it. Yeah,
my family history.
Yeah, exactly.
To me, it evolves from when I was younger. I was part of a brotherhood always because my brother and me, that we had these two of the cousins that were in our age area from my dad's side.
Mm-hmm.
And we were always together a lot. So to me, that was a little brotherhood.
Right.
That when I came out here and I met these guys, it became an even bigger brotherhood. And it's always been like that in my life, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not more than just support, and it's friends that I grew up with and I've seen every day,
mm-hmm.
coming and going, you know, living our lives.
Yeah.
Life is hustling, struggling, suffering, trying to get cars and bitches and money in. Don't get beat down, bro, AIDS are sprayed up. Get that dope player and raise the stakes up. Life is hustling, struggling, suffering, trying to get cars and bitches and money in. Don't get beat down, bro, AIDS are sprayed up. Get that dope player and raise the stakes up. Life is hustling, suffering, struggling, try to stay out of trouble when your cash flow is bubbling. Every two steps you double up, but at the same time eyes is watching and plotting, hoping you'll soon be forgotten. Mistakes is high like a game of Russian roulette. You never know who's next to catch something in their chest. Smashed up in the whip, told by some drunk driver. By playing this real life drama, what I call survivor. Rivals and pros, try to iron your folks. Have a feeling pressed and stressed from the Pope or the IRS. So life to me is bullshit, nothing but politics. Opposing cliques, fat whips and bitches that suck dick.
life is getting respect once you cashing the checks. Name signed on the back if it been deposit that shit. Invest in yourself to watch the interest grow. The haters come out the woodwork because they feelings got hurt. Life is having to feed your starving seeds to give them all they need so they don't end up living like me. Your life is a bitch and she's killing me slow. And until that day, I'm gonna get that dough, nigga.
Life is hustling, struggling, suffering, trying to get cars and bitches and money in. Don't get beat down, throw AIDS or sprayed up. Get that dough, play it and raise the stakes up. Life is hustling, struggling, suffering, trying to get cars and bitches and money in. Don't get beat down, throw AIDS or sprayed up. Get that dough, play it and raise the stakes up.
So what does loyalty mean to you?
Loyalty to me is basically a brotherhood. CHP is loyalty to me. Because that's, I think, all we've been these past 25 plus years. You know, it's all been about having each other's back, being able to trust one another in anything and everything. And just appreciating one another for who we are, you know, with each other, you know? Yeah. We're not just brothers, we're friends, we know a lot about each other, and, you know, it's all about a family. Even though we got our own lives, separate lives, you know, we never lose touch.
Yeah.
We're always connected one way or another, even if it's through a group text.
Yeah.
That we have fun doing because we clown on each other all the time in that. You know, so we're always... To me, that's what loyalty is. You know, I got a real brother that's my heart right there, and I got two younger sisters. You know, they're part of my loyalty, but so are these, what, about 9-10 of us besides me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my brothers too, and you know, and even though they've been part of my life from like when I was like 15, 16, but still, you know,
yeah,
been that long. Been that long, and nothing's gonna change. Yeah. We're still gonna love and hate each other as much as we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that goes to Charles because he loves to hate me sometimes. But no, that's my brother right there, though.
Yeah,
that's my brother.
So
yeah, you know, that's a meaningful loyalty, CHB.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the crew today? Have you guys been able to reinvent yourself over the 25 years to, you know, who you guys are today and as individuals and as a crew? And, you know, what are your thoughts on the future and moving forward as a crew?
I mean, like I said, we haven't separated in 25 plus years. I mean, from the beginning, like I said, also, if it's not for his persistence, this thing wouldn't stay as close as it is. And that's because he's the front man. You know, he's always doing the hustle for basically everything. You know, I mean, we got his back and whatever it is, and we're there in everything that we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's the main guy who's always out there doing what he does. And, you know, he's got the whole Drink Champ thing going with Nori.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of reinventing themselves because they've been on top and it hasn't stopped, and I don't think it is.
Yep.
You know, if it does, it's going to take a while, but you know, it's still doing its thing too.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think the only way they could probably still reinvent themselves is they really, at least to me, I mean, I know it's not easy to talk about, but I think they still need to get into music too.
Right.
He talked about doing beats again. Like I say, he's a nasty producer, and he should be on top of that, but, you know, we all got lives.
Yeah.
We all got lives, and at the end of the day, it's in each other's heart to do whatever, I guess, you know, whatever talent you have, whether it's writing a rhyme, whether it's making a beat, you know, DJing or whatever it is. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have none of those skills, but I'm always there to have anybody's back. I'm always there to support whatever it is.
Right.
Like I said, we ain't gonna stop either. I mean, I don't see nobody settling down yet.
Yeah, true.
We're getting old, but we still pumping.
In our next episode, we meet another member of the Crazy Hood family, Orlando, also known as Landy Lakes. Brother to Heckler, Landy was also there from the beginning, street team promoter, motivator, supporter. Landy isn't an artist, but his gift of gab played an important role when it came networking for the team. Tune in and listen to his story. New episodes of Family Ties come out weekly. Family Ties is a Crazy Hood Productions. This episode was produced by DJ EFN and myself, Jay Havana. Our theme music is titled Southwest by DJ EFN, featuring MC8, Blue, and Cam, with production by The Guild. If you like what we're doing, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps new people find out about the show. Also, check us out on Audio Boom and CrazyHood.com. Always authentic, always crazy.